Raised Rowdy.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. And my name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nikki T.
We have our guest Dylan Gossett today. Welcome up, dude.
What's up, dude?
Hey, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
This is sick.
Well, first and foremost, congrats on the release of Westward.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah.
I had a really good time checking the album out in preparation for this pod. Usually I would just put my headphones on and go for a run and like listen to the record or whatever, but it's just been too brutally hot to be doing that. So I've been laying in bed playing video games, listening to your record.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, sick.
One thing I love about like on iTunes Music is you can click on the tracks and see who played on it and who produced it and all this and stuff. And I know you've done some shopping for producers, so I was like, oh, I wonder who he's using on all this stuff. And then I just saw your name on there.
Yeah, dude. I did do a little shopping for producers, and I met a lot of incredibly talented people. And man, I was just trying to figure out what was right for the music and what kind of like fit my weird brain of like what clicks for the songs. And I made the song Tree Birds, and I produced it, and it just felt great, and I just loved it. I loved how it came out. I loved the process of it. I had a great engineer named Chris Bell in Austin, Texas. That's where we recorded it, in Austin, Texas as well. And man, it just worked. It was a process that worked. So I kind of like, I was super scared, but I was like, I'm going to take this leap. I was like, I'm just going to try to produce this album. And we did, and it sounds great. I love it. And I love how it turned out.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
We've only hung out a few times, but when I saw that, I was like, fuck yeah.
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 What's just terrifying doing that, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, but probably also like, you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. You're just explaining yourself to the inside of your head.
I think that was the biggest part of like, I just knew how in my brain I wanted these songs to sound, especially for this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to like, I don't know. I feel like me and Chris have like a really great way of talking, and like the way we recorded it was just completely raw. We didn't use any compressors. We used nothing. And all of our preamps and stuff were just out there in the room with the band. So like Chris is a genius of how he records. So like all of the chords were just like this long. Like we're not running, you know, mile long chords and getting all this delay, and like you need compressors for the buzz. It's like we just record it in the studio in raw and take care of it later. And it was just a fun process. Like, yeah,
it's so cool.
One thing I think about too is like knowing the origin of Cole and how like that song blew up, and you're like, I don't have a recording of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make one in GarageBand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that kind of how your producer hat started to be donned?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the producer hat started. And also, like, I'm sure I would go into a room with 10 other really talented producers and I would not be able to speak their language. I just can't and won't. I never will. Whatever.
Imposter syndrome. So you have that already.
Yeah.
Good. It's a good start.
Yeah.
Welcome to the music industry.
Yeah, dude. When I was in elementary school, I would scooter over to my mom was a teacher. So I would go to her middle school when she was teaching and hop on her laptop on GarageBand and make beats and like always make stuff. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was making noises. And that like slowly turned into in middle school, you know, starting to make my own. I would try to like copy songs. So I would have like Apologize by Tim, like, you know, and I would be like, I'm just going to copy exactly that. And if I can copy that, then I know that I can at least make a song one day of my own. Because I have like the technical ability too.
That's the best way to learn anything in music is with your ear.
Yeah.
Emulate it first and then you innovate.
Yeah. So, and that's that. And then high school kind of came. And that's when I was on a basketball team and a lot of my buddies liked rapping. And so we would invite, you know, guys over and I'd record them and make a track. And like they would hop on and we'd put it on SoundCloud or whatever.
Are those still on SoundCloud somewhere?
They are. They are. there's actually one song out there on SoundCloud where I actually have like a rap verse, and but it's so deep that I don't think anyone will
be able to uncover it.
All right. But it's, yeah.
We'll have to find it.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
But yeah, man. And then obviously my wife got me a brand new mic like in Christmas of 22. And 23 is when I started recording To Be Free and Cole and stuff to my room. So
what do you know? Remember what mic it was?
So the mic that I used to use was an AT2020. It was a USB mic that put straight into the laptop. And then the one that she got me is a Shure PGA-27. That's still the mic that I used for actually a lot. Like a lot of this album was actually still recorded in my house.
Because I read that Cole was recorded with one mic.
Yeah.
And it was the mic your wife got you.
Yes.
And that's the song that I love that.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
The guitar was a DI.
It's crazy.
I actually remember you told me that before. Yeah. I know, like, the Nebraska record, Bruce's record. Yeah. Are you hip to that record?
Not really.
Yeah. No, I have some friends that are like, I love this, and some are like, I haven't checked it out. Mm-hmm. But he moved to Nebraska for a month to write this record, and he cut the whole thing to tape with an SM57, which is not a great mic for vocals or acoustics, but it's a very good, like, general mic.
Yeah.
And the idea was make demos and then go back to New Jersey and cut the full record, and it never did.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like just him in the box with a tape machine, and levels were wrong and things were clipping, but it's real and it's raw, dude. And it's like kind of up your vibe too. Yeah, I feel like.
I mean, and dude, those demos is where you capture, I think, the real feel of the song, like truthfully, because that's when you have like the most inspiration for it. Instead of being like demo, all right, in 2 months we're gonna go cut this. But that's why, like, I was so big on it, and this is what we did with Tree Birds, and it worked. We recorded it in my house. So me and my brother Colton, we would all come over, and we would cut like the electric vocals, bass right there, everything but the drums, because I can't record drums in my house. Yet. dude, we did everything but the drums, and then we would bring it into the studio and be like, all right, we're gonna build off of this. So I'm gonna send Chris the files, which probably like was pulling his hair out, because I was like, I don't know how to send these files, like, you know. But he kind of taught me how to like get them to him, and we would start with like, all right, we're gonna keep the bass and everything that like has this demo of such a great feel, but we're gonna get it to quality. So now we're gonna go put on a real piano, like a Yamaha or something, instead of my computer keyboard and stuff, you know. And then you start like seeing this song like come to life, but it still has that demo feel. And that's like the record. That's how we did almost all the songs that we didn't just play live, like in the studio. That's kind of how it was made.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's also super inspiring, because I want to get into producing too. And I've been trying to dip my toes into that deep well.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's deep, and you look down and it's kind of like, oh fuck, it's scary down there.
Kurt's problem is he knows so much about so much of the music.
Yeah.
That it's like, he wants to be perfect at everything he does.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not how it works when you start. Like, when you start playing fiddle, you weren't perfect at it, you know, but
yeah, still not.
It is crazy. I was there whenever you were like, I'm trying this fiddle thing, and you could like, you could play it, but, and then it was like, I remember seeing like 6 months later, you're like in a stadium playing the fiddle. And I was like, I guess he figured it out. So
I appreciate you guys.
No, but I mean, honestly too, like, specifically during COVID, when no one could really get into the studio, and people were just releasing songs that they had recorded on their phone or that they could do their best with at home. I think that raw authenticity that comes through in those songs is part of what made the movement of music that has happened since happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like that raw authenticity that you get when you hear a work tape for one of your favorite songs before it got cut, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is now in mainstream music, which for me is like a fan of music is so cool.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Damn, that's a very interesting point.
Yeah.
I never kind of put that together. A lot of this like stripped down acoustic vibes could have been like super influenced by COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even like outside of country too, like you saw like the bedroom pop stuff.
Yeah.
Like pop off and go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like, it kind of went back to homemade stuff. And then I feel like that's why I think also like lyrics mean a little bit more nowadays, and like people are really into the songwriting side, is because you can't fake like one of those raw songs. You know, you can't have like a pop song lyric. Like, that's why like a lot of these pop bedroom people or these like acoustic people that were doing in their house kind of are storytelling or lyrically driven, it feels like.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's super cool.
I do too. And I honestly feel like that's why everyone's kind of leaned into country.
Yeah.
Because the songwriting in country music has been a craft for so long.
Absolutely.
And now all these people are like, wait, the lyrics do matter. You know?
Yeah.
When we were young, some of the rock lyrics, you're just like, hey, you're crazy, bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're worried about the vibe as much as you're worried about the content.
Totally. Yeah.
You know? You don't even know when you're a kid exactly what you're singing.
Yeah.
But now I think people more than ever, like you're talking about, are paying attention to what you're saying.
Yeah. And dude, that's why I think like 70s music is so incredible and like so like it sticks. It's because the music is so good. Mm-hmm. But then you also like peel back the layers and then the lyrics, and like the musicianship and just everything was just so good.
Meaningful.
And yeah, you know, and it just feels like, yeah, like a little bit of a swing back towards that where people are really caring about records, and it's just cool.
I think so too.
Also, it kind of feels like you're getting the peek behind the curtain as a listener when stuff is like really stripped back,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like everything's like perfect and like ultra produced, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking on that, and speaking of the record, I think the way you start off Westward.
Oh, it's what an intro.
A cappella, like a hymn, very like religious overtones in my opinion.
Yep.
Can you talk about the, like, was that a decision you made to do that?
Absolutely. I'm Christian. It's a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And, I want to show that on the record. I'm not, you know, I sing country music and kind of folk music, Americana. So like, I'm not a gospel singer, you know, I'm not going to go and sing worship on the album, like for every single song, but I wanted to put that in there.
Yeah.
And hanging on the second track, what's technically the first track, that's what that song's kind of about, just hanging on the road to faith, to family, to your wife, to just everything. And dude, I just really wanted to start with a hymn. I thought it was such a cool way to enter. And you know, I think starting just a cappella, it was scary. It took me a lot of tries to get that thing where I think I liked it, because you're very exposed. Mm-hmm. But dude, I loved it. I thought it was just really cool, and like how the bass came in, and yeah, man, it was just, I loved it. And then it was very intentional the way that there's like a continuous bleed over, so you can't tell when Hanging On starts. Like, that was very intentional. So, but I also understood, like, if someone wants to go listen to like a 140 BPM, like thumping song, they don't want to start with a hymn every time. So
yeah,
I cut that in half. And, yeah, it's one of my favorite on the album, probably. Yeah.
Same, honestly. And I think such a statement when you turn the record on, you know, I think sometimes when you listen to a record, you can get a feel for who a person is. And I feel like that, for me, gave me that glimpse into who you are as a person.
Well, dude, that's amazing to hear, because that was, that was the goal. So it's like, got it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
That's great.
And you're so hands-on with the record too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the fans and people that listen to it are getting to be closer to you and like your artistry, because you're just a part of every bit of it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, again, it's a blessing and a curse being that into it. Because, I mean, especially when like mixed notes came, it's just like, I was driving myself crazy. But dude, I rely on, you know, like my brother and Colton and like the band guys. I mean, the whole record, every single person that touched the record, there were seven people. It was me, the four band guys, engineer, and Brendan on fiddle. So that's the whole record.
And that's your live band.
Yeah, it's the live band. That's the guys we play with every single day, which I was like, I made sure, I was like, session players are awesome, and I've used them, and they're the best. But these guys like know me, know the music, and especially like some of the songs we've been playing live, like at these shows. So it was like, it doesn't make sense to bring it. And like, I love these guys. I want to, you know, have them have their name on the record. It's so cool to me. So, yeah, dude, it's just a family project. Like that's even what the project's kind of written about. It's like Westward, going west with these guys. And, it just felt perfect, like a perfect setup to have these guys on it. So
I think
you're going to get different stuff than on Music Row too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and like you talk about, like, these guys are the ones that when you showed them the song, they're the ones that are helping craft how it sounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you had studio guys do it, they'd just be replicating the way that these guys crafted it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the exact way we played on the road.
Yeah.
That, like, we should play on the record. So.
Yeah. I love that. The element of faith, I feel like even in the songs that aren't directly about that, you can still feel it.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a little bit about your faith? I know that's a crazy topic, but just like how that has affected your music and like your touring and
it's everything, right? So like, it affects everything, it's in everything. I think it's just like, just the fact of knowing that, like, I know there's a bigger purpose than singing music and selling tickets and stuff like that. And that my whole goal, in this life is, and this is the way I think, I'm not trying to push this on anybody, but is, you know, like my goal in life is to show God glory and kind of do everything through him and try to be a light in a place where there might be darkness at times. And like, we're not perfect at all. Like, I'm not saying that, but, we just try to do that. We try to treat people the best we can, like that. Like, our faith is just intertwined in everything. And, it's just, yeah, I mean, even like making the record, just, you just have a, you have a real purpose. Like, even if the record's tough or things are going bad in the music business, like as a Christian, I believe I already won. Right. So like, it's, it just gives you this guiding light and this groundness when you're on the road. And dude, I see it like everyone in the music industry right now, honestly, with a lot of guys, like, dude, the Cruise Brothers are massive for me. And like, they're, we can talk about them later. They're the best band in the world. Whoa. But, and then the Jack Wharf band, I met those guys. Those are incredible guys. And like, they're very, you know, faith-based. And I think it's just a cool, like, revolution that feels like it's kind of happened in the music industry. And, but it just gives you like this guiding light of like, when, because the music industry is just insane. And like, y'all know, bro, it. I've been in this like 2 years. I don't really know much. But like, what I do know is that if I feel like I didn't have this foundation that I could stand on, I'd be in a way different spot or crazier spot than I am right now. So, yeah.
I mean, you've been in the industry, like, really, I mean, you've been doing it since you were a kid.
Yeah.
But I mean, 2023, it's like 2 years. I feel like you've lived like 10 years in the industry in those 2 years.
Do. Yeah. You absolutely do. And yeah, but I mean, I think it's good, dude. I think like, it's such a weird time, I would guess, for the music industry, of like, it's the most accessible it's ever been, but I think it is probably the hardest to like stand out, maybe.
There's so many songs each week.
Every week. And yeah, it's like, I was lucky. Like, I kind of came in that area where like, it was like Wyatt and Sam Barber and like those guys were kind of like Charles. Mm-hmm. And then I had like Cole and it kind of happened. And then like, even from that, it's grown exponentially. And it's like, there's just so many people doing it and so many guys and girls. And it's like, yeah, it's just a weird time. I don't know.
It's cool though. It's real. It's authentic. It feels like homegrown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think it's a incredible time to be a fan of music in the Americana lane specifically, even more than it was. I mean, we've covered Americana at Raise Rowdy since it started, but like, the growth that segment has seen the last 3 to 4 years is so great. And I think some of the finest songwriting comes out of that lane, and some of the most meaningful stories and some of the most interesting voices.
Yeah. You know,
both on the song as well as just people as people.
Yep. So yeah, I agree.
It's great in my opinion.
I agree. I think it's such a cool time. It's a crazy time. I mean, I'm thankful for it, obviously, you know, we're sitting here and stuff, but yeah, it is. It's insane. So.
I know how busy your life is right now. Probably crazy.
it's quite busy. But I mean, dude, like I believe in this industry, especially like busy means good. Yes. So
better too busy than not busy enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I am going, we just finished up a mountain run tour and I'm going home actually tonight and I'm going to spend some, I got like 2 weeks off, like my dog and wife. So
that's great.
That'll be fun. But
you have some dates coming up on the road, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have like 3 makeup shows. Oh, dude, actually, it was like the first time I ever had to cancel shows. I was so sick. It was like the worst. But Portland, Edmonton. And then
westward.
Exactly. Going west, baby. North and west. But in the fall, we have our whole fall westward run where, and dude, like the guys are so excited for that. Cause like, it's their first time bringing lights on the road. Like we get to have that whole production, like a, you know, an LD, and she feels like our band of guys is just getting so tight and like so good at the job, you know?
Yeah.
So like the fall tours are always fun. It's like our big headline major markets type tour.
That's so great. Yeah.
Are you guys playing, what kind of venues are y'all playing?
We're playing like 2 to 4. So kind of depending on where we're at. And then sadly I don't think I can announce that. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, we start like in Alabama and we're playing like Avondale Brewing or something like that. And we're the only place that we're repeating is in Philly. We're doing Fillmore because we want to like go. We want to go crush that. Like, we want to like sell that one. So, but dude, we're so excited. We're ready for it.
Are you doing any dates like supporting any artists?
No, we're not. That's something that I really want to do, though, honestly. Like, you know, we've been so focused on the hard ticket business, which is awesome. I'm like,
which is great.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was like a big thing of mine. Like when I was like first talking to management and just everybody was like how important that is to me. But man, like we've been just like going this 2 years like straight of just hard ticket business of like really not opening since February of 2023. And yeah, I think it'd be cool to be able to go see a different camp and like be able to like learn from, you know, a lot of guys that have like been doing it for a really long time.
Didn't you do one of the Morgan dates?
Yeah, we did. Making that up? We did one. So yeah. It was just me solo acoustic in Minute Maid. Yeah. Yeah. I was like the first of like five openers or whatever. Yeah.
But when you go in there, there's still 15,000 people in the stadium.
Which is crazy. You look at it and it feels like five like it does feel like a lot because it's just so massive. But like you see just a lot of seats and then like some of them have people in it. But then, yeah, it's like halfway full, but it's 15th. It's insane. Yeah. So, yeah.
What was that experience like?
Dude, I was nervous. It was just a pretty crazy call to get because I'm from Texas, so like, mm-hmm. and Astros is my team. I'm not really a baseball guy, but if I had to choose, like, I'll choose the guys that win a lot.
Sure.
you know, so
better the Astros than the Yankees, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. So, dude, it was really cool. I got to meet him in Austin like the night before. It was super nice, and yeah, dude, just went up there and ripped like 25-minute solo like acoustic. It was my first ever time using in-ears. Because I was like, I can't use a wedge in a stadium. This is just... So, use in-ears, and it. I liked it, and it was ever since then. So,
but did you use a click or anything?
No.
Or
just not solo acoustic, I don't. Now, when we do band, we'll sometimes put on a click if we have like a really tight song or fast song.
Yeah.
But yeah, solo acoustic, just no click, just
cool.
Just ears.
Let it run, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I love that too. It's always interesting to me, like a guy like Ben Chapman, who we're buddies with, like he played a main stage of a festival and he just did wedges with no click or nothing. I was like, that's crazy.
It's metal, dude. Like that's and like it has to just be so loud. Cause like and how does it like your guitar not feedback, like all that kind of stuff? But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you're playing the stadium, then it's like if you want to go on the thrust and hang out with the fans, then it's like you can't bring, you got to have wedges out there.
Yeah.
Then you're hearing the wedge and then you're hearing the line array at the same time.
Or you just got to turn around and look at the drummer. Yeah. Trying to like watch a snare or something.
Like I have in my ears, like we were on click.
Yeah.
So because it's like you go out then to the thrust and it's like I just turn my pack up when I had to go play a solo at then.
Yeah.
So I walk out and because you hear the front of house and it's delayed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I see these like clips of like Queen and stuff playing stadiums back in the day, like Wembley, or I'm like, how do they do that? They're not running out on the thrust. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
I guess the only thing that I could think of would be like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, did their electrics used to go through the PAs or were they like just amp walls behind them?
I assume through the PA.
Okay.
Maybe so. I don't know.
That'd be the only thing where I could think of being like, if that they have like a massive amp wall that's like blasting music, maybe. But dude, I agree. I'm with you. That'd be,
bro. Talking about massive amp wall. I just saw AC/DC.
Yeah.
At Nissan. I put my the first 5 seconds. I put earplugs in. And I didn't take them out the entire show. It was so loud.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I guess so that's kind of you can't be AC/DC and be quiet. Like, you can't have someone even thinking that it was quiet.
Yeah, so it's like 90 decibels. You're like, no.
Now we're gonna need 105.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
I want to talk about a little bit. So, like, you've been talking about the shows and getting to do the headlining shows. Uh-huh. Do you have any moments of like fan moments that have like kind of stuck out through that touring window? Like things you saw people do, or just like the first time that someone.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, dude, the my favorite thing, like the thing that like. Gets me all emotional is like when I see like a kid on like a dad's shoulders or something like that, like cowboy hat, and he's like singing the words and the dude's like 5 or 6, you know,
he's like, why the hell am I still cold?
Yeah. I'm like
oh, you're 3.
yeah he's like, yeah. But he's just feeling it, you know. Stuff like that, dude, just makes everything so worth it. And like just seeing people sing, like seeing people cry and laugh and jump, like just that kind of stuff. And like what helps me a lot, like, dude, I mean, y'all know, like sometimes you'll go into a crowd and it's just kind of a dead crowd. And like, you know, you're playing a great show, you know, you're playing great music and the guys are giving it everything. But sometimes it's just like the room just doesn't really want to be electric at the time. Yeah. But there's always fans in it that are. So like, I will always key in on those fans. And I'm like, that dude's having the time of his life, like singing our songs. Like we're going to give it to him tonight. You know, like we're going to play to him. And it just helps a lot. I'm trying to think of like, any specific craziness. We have a very high energy show and it's a lot of fun. but I think to like, I don't think we have any like, at least not one that I'm thinking of like
that sticks
out in the crowd. I mean, like actually the craziest ones are overseas.
Yeah.
Like we, one of the loudest and most insane shows we've ever been to is Manchester. We did like two just sold out shows there and it was like just people just crowd surfing and just the whole crowd just jumping and moving. It's like, that feels weird. You know, it feels like I'm like a soccer game or something.
I remember when we were at that session, you were talking about, weren't you going to Australia? Mm-hmm. Is that, did I remember that correctly?
Yeah. So I went to Australia two times in 2024. So last year.
That's a lot of flying there, bud.
Yeah, dude. So the very first time was with Noah Kahn. So I was opening for him. That was solo acoustic as well. And that was to just his massive crowds, which I still think he has one of the craziest, best crowds of like singers I've ever heard. It's just so
loud.
They
just sing everything?
Everything, man. And I learned so much from him and the, his old crew and that culture. But
did you fly all the way to Australia by yourself or did
my wife?
Okay.
So my wife just comes to everything that she can. Mm-hmm. We have a dog. So she, you know, stays home for some, like if we're going to like, I'm not going to just like dog on a city, but if we go to like one of those cities, that's just like, you don't want to come here. Like she'll stay home.
Gary,
like,
Indiana. Or
something. Yeah, exactly. So
sorry, Gary, Indiana.
Folks. But, I mean, so, but to that first flight, I was sitting, we were sitting in the back of the plane economy, like middle seat. Brutal. For like 17 hours.
I've been there multiple times. Like,
you know, but it was worth it. It was incredible. And then we went back to headline Australia in December of that same year. And dude, just incredible. Like just like salt of the earth people over there.
Agreed.
It's just so it feels like a greener, healthier.
Yes.
America
with better coffee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The best coffee, best orange juice. And it's like best breakfast in the world. Like it's food, just a great place.
Insane. Yeah.
So yeah.
And country music's big over there.
Massive.
Oh yeah. Luke's biggest stream city is not Dallas, it's Sydney.
Same.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Sydney.
A lot of people are that way, which is like, you're from Texas, so you would assume. It's crazy. And Cappy told me, he's like, dude, we could have headlined Brisbane and played a sold-out stadium show 10 nights in a row if we wanted to.
Insane.
Yeah, it's just like, they're crazy over there.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I just had a meeting with someone from Australia who was like talking to us about like helping with some events for like their like program and stuff. They said they have like kind of a writer's camp over there that they do. They bring Dawsey over too, you know, Jordan Dawsey, big loud guy.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were talking to me about that and we're talking about like having them kind of like help with some events and bring some more Australian people here.
Yeah.
And dude, we've shipped merchandise to Australia. And I'm like, it's like $80 to ship a $40 t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing? That they love it.
Dude, I think it's such like a buy-in process for them, you know, because it's like when an act decides, like, I'm going to travel for like two full straight days just to like go across the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's like they know that it's rare and like that the artist actually feels like they, you know, care about them like in like being over there. So it's like, I think that's why like they make sure they come out. Like that's why like when we go overseas to Europe, like these shows just are a little bit different. Cause it's like, I mean, if you're in Nashville, you can go see a country show of any artist you want almost every single night.
Yeah.
And like when you live in Birmingham, like, or you live in Brisbane or whatever it might be, it's like, okay, this country act is coming in 7 months. There's not a chance in the world we're going to miss it. So it's just special. Like I think like they care so much about this kind of music and it's like, just show them a lot of care back. So.
Yeah.
I love traveling and playing abroad. It's so sick.
That's cool. 'Cause you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'll go to the UK and drink some creamy pints of Guinness and play some shows.
Yeah.
I know you've had some good times over there. The UK.
Absolutely.
Smell of Rain was like one of the tunes that came about, which I loved. I was reading about this. I'm like, this is the coziest. Just tell a story.
I think it's awesome. Got you. It's one of my favorite stories, to be honest with you. It was one of the best days of my life, like, to be honest with you. So I think it was the night before my first headline show ever.
Your first headline show overseas or
was
ever?
In Dublin? No, forever.
So was your first headline show ever overseas?
Yes.
That's crazy.
First ever headline show was just me and my brother on electric in Dublin. That was the first one ever. And I can't remember if it was like the night before or the night after, but I do know it was on our anniversary, February 25th. So we were like, we got to do something. I was working all day and like just time kept getting away from us. And I was like, I was feeling horrible. And like Julia's still in a great mood because she's the best. And
She was brownie like points all over this podcast, yeah. bro.
But she was like, let's just find a city. Like, let's go outside of Dublin. Like, let's not be in the city. Let's try to find some. So she finds this like fishing village called Howth. And I'm saying that so wrong. Howth. Something like that.
How do you spell it?
H-O-W-T-H. Howth.
Howth.
Yeah. But we're like, it's like an hour drive or whatever it was, or 30 minutes. And we're like, let's just do it. We hopped in the taxi and went. And it was like sun was setting. And we go up on this cliff. And we see this like massive ocean. It's beautiful with these like sunflowers everywhere and this like light tower. And it's just like it's like the prettiest place ever. And it's like our 1 year anniversary. So it's like, cool. We checked the box. We did it. It's awesome. But we're like, let's just stay. Like, we're already here. It's nighttime. Like, let's just stay. So we go to this like little tavern, I guess, thing. And we get like this like lit up by fireplaces, and it feels like I'm in like The Hobbit or like Lord of the Rings, and we're having like fish and chips.
Stryker's
and Guinness
in the corner with his pipe.
Yeah, dude, literally though, like it's so crazy, and you know, everyone's just so happy and just like excited to be there, and we're like, all right, let's go find some live music. That was my thing. I was like, let's just go try to find some like someone playing. I don't care if it's like a guy singing on a corner. And our waitress told us, you need to go to the Bloody Stream. I think is what it was called. Like, it was another pub, like a little pub. I was like, okay, cool. I'm sure there's like a band there tonight. So we go over, and it's hard to find almost, but you get in there, and you're in a room maybe this size, cobblestone. Everything's cobblestone with just like wood hammered in beams or whatever. Yeah. Like, it feels like it's been there since like King Arthur. And you're like, this is so insane. And dude, like, there's just like the only heat you have is this massive fireplace at the front. And there's just like two guys in the corner. One name's Callum, and he's playing this like one string cigar box thing. The other dude's on like hitting his legs or like with like spoons. And I'm like, yeah, this is the spot. Yeah. So we sit down, have a Guinness, get to talking. And dude, it's like every 15 minutes, somebody comes in, and it's like they bring in a stand up bass. I'm not kidding. Like, not like a guitar. They're bringing in, next guy comes in with a fiddle, or the next guy comes in with an instrument I've never seen in my life.
And then the squeeze box things.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, dude, you have like 10 guys of like, one kid might be 13 years old and one dude's 80 years old. And they're all just playing like sometimes hits. Like, sometimes they're singing like Purple Rain. And then sometimes they're singing like these like Irish ballads that like the whole pub of like, again, like in here is probably like 20 people like stand up and just sing. And like, we're just like in awe. And again, we're like, this is our 1 year anniversary. We're like, this is the best day ever. But we get to talking and with the guy next to us, and he finds out that I'm a singer, and he doesn't know, no one in this place knows who I am or anything like that. And he's like, well, man, you should go sing. So I go sing like Cole, and like everyone's like automatically like, this is so cool. And I was like, just smile, couldn't get off my face. And dude, they just kept like giving us Guinness. We're there until three in the morning.
That's my dream.
3 in the morning. And it's like, dude, at this point, like, we have a dude that has a piano in the corner. We have what am I thinking of? Accordion.
Yeah, the tiny ones.
Yeah.
I forget what they call those little squeeze box things.
Harmonicas. We have like these little like lute thing, like everything you can think of. And then Callum, the guy that's there, like he handmade this cigar box one string that he plays. It's like just his instrument, has a little pickup in it. And it's like, dude, it was insane. And every single time that we tried to leave, they would hand us another beer. And they're like, it's rude if you leave now. So we were there. It's like 3 in the morning, just drinking Guinness, singing these like Irish songs. And they found out it was our anniversary. So then they sang us this like wedding song. They like had us in the middle. Dude, it was like a movie. You just can't explain it. So we actually literally had to Irish goodbye, which I think that maybe is why they had, because I was like, if I tell these people we had to cancel like 3 taxis. If I tell these people I'm leaving, like, we're never leaving. So we like kind of sneak out, and we're like, thank y'all, love y'all, you know, hopefully see y'all one day in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get out, we get in the taxi, and we're just like, what just happened? That was the best time ever. So yeah, I wrote a song about that, and just like a quick little acoustic kind of like love song about the anniversary, and it's about like cobblestone walls and that whole place. So
great.
Yeah,
that's like my dream, bro. I've had a couple nights like that, not quite as cool as that, but like extremely close, that are like, I'm so thankful to get to play music for a living and to get to travel and experience different cultures and like just play music with locals and stuff like that. Corey, our keys player, and I, when we were in Scotland, we were all tired, and we're like, all right, well, let's not like go out, but let's just the two of us grab a nice meal.
Yeah. So
I'm like, okay. We go sit down to dinner, and we're like, well, should we have a bottle of wine? And then and then one thing, next thing you know, we're like at this pub with the fireplace and the dog in front of it, and it was like trad night in Scotland, so it was like 30 fiddle players and like bagpipes and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm so glad I went out.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
just
what I mean,
dude, like the culture over there is just so cool. Like you can also just see like it takes you so quickly, like the culture is just like, it's just about like having a good time a lot mm-hmm. of it, so it's just like, it's so cool. Yeah,
love that.
And and you do well overseas, man, so it's like,
yeah,
win-win.
It's, dude, it's like some shows, like we probably sell tickets quicker there than we do here, you know. When we go back to London and Dublin, like, just, it's incredible. I love it over there. It, like, obviously the hardest part is like finding food and stuff, like when you're on the road and in a Sprinter van or whatever, but it's worth it. It's cool. Yeah,
so great. Why don't we get back to the record and touch on,
yeah.
That's what I'm here for, Kurt.
Yeah.
Touch on maybe some of the songs off the record, yep, that you think like, or you hold closest to your heart.
Yeah, dude, it's a hard question. I mean, like, every single one of these songs is like, it is a story of mine, right? So like, or an experience that I've personally had, or just something. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we already talked about Smell of Rain. That's a really, you know, big one for me. I mean, like Back 40, there's a song called Back 40 that's kind of a little bit more rock leaning, and mm-hmm. Especially when we play it live, it's a lot more rock. So I'm excited to do like a live version of that one day. But that's like, I used to work in F1 at the racetrack in Austin, and I had like buddies that I used to work with named Nate and Trevor, and they were like the guys, like, and also Luke and Carter. Sorry, I need to put those guys in there too. A lot more guys, and now I feel bad. But it was just like such a, like a tight group of dudes that like I learned a lot from, learned a lot about life through, and we all kind of left at the same time. Like they both got jobs, and then like I was gonna be stuck, and then my TikTok kind of happened. I was like, what's going on? And so we all kind of left at the same time. And it was a very hard job. It was a good job, you know, but it was very tough at times. But we all missed it a little bit, because like we would go into like what we called the back 40 and like drink beer and after work, of course, obviously. And
when you're driving race cars for a
wink,
living,
wink.
Yeah, no, but dude, it's just like a special place of learning a lot. So like that song's kind of like an ode to them. Like I always thought that's such a cool song, and we just always called it back 40. So like they love it, and it's just fun. But man, there's a ton of songs like that. Like Cicada Choir is actually about that week when I was here with you and Al. I think that was during the Cicada, like that was during that week, I want to say.
Oh, and like you would just drive and your car would crunch over bugs,
yeah,
and stuff. Yeah,
so like that whole song is about when I was staying at a B&B in Nashville with just me, Julia, and my dog, and the cicadas were so loud when I was singing on the back porch, it felt like a choir was singing with me. So that's what the whole song is, Cicada Choir, is about. It's just sitting on the back porch. I've just been like, it's not our home, but they like Nashville loves us here, like we love it, and like all you need is like me, her, dog, and Cicada Choir. So like that's what that song's about.
Yeah.
But man, it's just super cool. Like a lot of these songs are just or all of these songs are just, I don't know, it's hard to choose one.
There's no duds.
Yeah.
No.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. But yeah, they all have some kind of special meaning of, and like Roll of 35, that's about the guys on the bands. So like that's why like that song we wanted to record live, like as just all of us together. But we always carry around 35 millimeter cameras. So it's like, but we always make the joke of like, we'll go play a show and we loved it, and tomorrow we're like, where were we yesterday? So like, but what we always know is that like the life like always lives on the Roll of 35. Like we'll never forget it, because we always have those pictures and stuff. So there's just a lot of special like little moments in there that I love.
I love that. Touring extensively after probably not touring before, mm-hmm. right? What are some challenges that if you were talking to someone that's just starting to tour, and maybe even ways that you like got through that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing that I can't imagine, and I'm so blessed to have such good guys around me, but like I can't imagine having guys like you're just not really getting along with on the road.
Oh, it's cancer, dude.
I just can't imagine it. Like I just feel like we have a great culture and like great group of guys that all have the same goal.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the hardest parts is like when you wake up and you're in Ogallala, Nebraska, and there's not even Ubers there, so you can't go anywhere. Dude, we had to walk like a mile and a half to like the only Mexican food restaurant in Nebraska. And we're eating like Mexican in Nebraska. Yeah. Like, it's actually pretty good. Shout out Nebraska. But it's just like, it's stuff like that, man, where like you just get caught in this weird up and down dopamine thing where so you go play this like incredible show and people are like cheering and like you just have like eyes on. It's like such a cool like connection, right? Maybe that's more of it is. It's not even like a praise thing of like the artist and the band. It's like this connection you feel with the crowd that's like, man, we just did that. And it's like, boom, you go to the green room and it's like, boom. You just hear like the AC and you're like, all right, you know. Yeah. But
that's why people, they're like, should we drink too much?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, all right.
Yeah. So
that's where that comes from.
Yeah. But, dude, like, I think I've gotten a lot better, like, finding peace with that of just being like, honestly, it's kind of nice sometimes. It's just getting in there and you're just like, you know, like, fun show, amazing. Let's chill out, hop in the shower and just get on the bus.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I think it's the weird downtime where like you're in a place where everyone outside your crew is a stranger. And it's like, you know, you're missing home and you're just never in a situation that you're necessarily like the most comfortable in. You're always kind of like a little bit, not on edge. I don't want to be like everyone on the tour is always like, oh, you know, but it's like, you're not
home.
You don't
have the comforts at home. There's no gym and it's like, you don't have your bed and it's like, you got to watch TV on your phone and you're like,
yeah,
and also doing laundry. It's like, how do you do that?
Laundry's always the hard one.
Then you're like, you have to pack up your clothes every single day, and living out of the suitcase is kind of annoying.
Yeah, and then like in the middle of that, like you're trying to like roll out an album, and you're trying to like do the social media thing, which I'm like the worst social media person on the entire planet. And like, it's yeah, man. I mean, it's the best job in the world, but it's tough. It's like it has its things that just kind of like wear on you. That's why like. I mean, like when you finish a tour, whether you're getting sleep or not, like you get home and you just feel like beat. You're just exhausted. But it's I mean, I think that's probably like the biggest struggles of just kind of like you're out of your comfort zone kind of like 100% of the time.
Yeah.
You just got to find the people around you that just are the best. Like I do think I should have like the best guys ever around me. So it's great.
Hell yeah. Shout out band guys. Yeah. And crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say, like, I feel like Raised Rowdy's, like, the crew guys of the music world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. That's cool. I feel that.
Yeah. So you talked about, like, taking break after that. You're going to have a few weeks where you get to kind of, like, put your feet back in the dirt. What are some of the things that you do when you get that time to, like, really kind of recenter yourself?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I stay home. I hang out with friends. I try to go see my family. My brother just had a brand new baby girl, like four days ago. So it's the very first. So I'm an uncle, like a real blood uncle now, and you know, in my family, and it's my parents' first grandbaby. So that I can't wait to get back and see her again. And it's just stuff like that, man. Seeing family, and just being able to see friends and just hang out. But dude, talking about tour, like how, like we say tour is a hard thing. You give me like a week off and I just get very bored. And I just start thinking like, I want to be back on the bus. I want to see the guys, you know, like I want to kind of like get back in it. So, but man, I do that. We were talking earlier about college football and I played like a dynasty on my Xbox with my buddies. So that's something I have two dynasties. I'm Fresno State in one. And then in the other one, I'm Texas State. So just some real hard-nosed programs that I'm trying to build over there. But I just try to relax and honestly do like a lot of writing too. Like writing that never feels like a job to me. I don't make it a job. That's like very intentional. I don't go and like write with people or like set up things just because like, again, I never want my writing to feel like a job. And some months I might write zero songs and that might stress my team and stuff out. And then some months I'll write four, you know, and I'm like, cool, they're all going on the record. I love them. So I love writing whenever something sparks. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Well, dude, that's badass, first of all. But congrats on everything. And I know you got a record signing today, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to Grimey's, which I've never been. I've heard it's awesome over there.
It is.
So yeah, very excited to do that and just meet all the fans.
Is there vinyl, like actual vinyl there?
Yeah.
Can we sign?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So best. Yeah, we dude, it's the coolest thing ever to have like a real like album.
It's
vinyl.
A long record, it's an hour long probably.
Yeah,
right?
It's like 50, high 50s, I want to say, but it's 17 songs.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So great.
Does it all fit on one or is it a double
record? It's two discs in there. And dude, I'll have to show you, like, I think the vinyl like and all that would make sense, like after having this talk, like y'all could see it. Like the inside is just actually all of like the 35 millimeter pictures that we took. Oh. It's just like covering the insides of like the inserts of like all the guys. And it's funny for people who are watching, I'm calling them out here, but our drummer Max, I didn't realize this after, but it was already printed and everything, but there's Uh-oh. Like, he's like in the corners, like shirts like up
just and
like,
out.
Yeah. He showed me, he's like, dude, what the hell is this? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I didn't know. But I was like, you look great. You know?
Well, the other thing too, man, is like, the hard part about being a fan is sometimes you like don't realize that everyone's just a regular person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Putting pictures like that makes everybody realize that you guys are.
Yeah. And dude, and like we call ourselves the Sweet Boys of country music. Like we cared so much about just like trying to leave an impression of like good. Like it's just like you just never know like what a lot of these, especially like these workers at the stages and these festival workers, and like they just probably deal with just, it's mayhem. I mean, I've worked in the event space. It is just the worst at times. And like, dude, like that's what I think makes us very real, is just like the guys in the band, like they just are the nicest guys of all time. So yeah, with Sweet Boys of country music, and it's just that. Like a tag. Bro,
we need more Sweet Boys out here.
We sure do.
Yeah. Don't clip me saying that, but it's true.
This is Sweet Boys.
No, it's it's one of those things, man, where you can have an effect on people's days, not just you, but everyone.
Yeah.
The things that you put out to the people that you get to interact with can change their day.
Yeah.
If you're a positive influence, it can make them have a positive day.
Absolutely.
If you're a negative influence, it can make them have a negative day. So it's, I try to be mindful of that, and Kurt does too. He's like a cartoon character of niceness.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Honorary sweet boy, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna expand the group. We just gotta like have like a little like, maybe get a little Facebook group going.
Yeah.
The Sweet Boys of country music.
Or fantasy league or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man, honestly, like that is as meaningful as the music is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the way you treat people. I've heard someone say, I forget who it was, they said, as good as you are to people on the way up, that's how good they're going to be to you on the way down.
Oh, yeah.
And everything eventually goes down. Yeah. You know?
There's a way down? Oh,
fuck. Maybe not if Luke comes. Yeah. Maybe not if Luke comes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, eventually, you won't be selling 75,000 tickets. You'll be selling 65,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Having to settle for 60.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so meaningful, man. Mm-hmm. And the more you get to see of, like we talk about the industry stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But the good people, when they're good, it's so meaningful.
Yeah.
So thank you for being a good person.
Dude, it's easy to do.
Hell yeah. And thanks for coming in and hanging with us.
This is fun, man.
Donating your time. And it's good to see you again, man. Yeah. It's been a minute.
I know, dude. It has been. We've been talking about this for a while. So, dude, this is fun. We should do this again.
Dude, we're down. I like it. Holler at your boys.
Yeah. When you get another record, come on in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being here with us, man. Yeah. We appreciate you coming out here to Old Hickory and hanging out with us.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. All right, boys. My name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nicky T.
And we'll see you on the front row. Thanks, dude.
Yep.